Model Test 2. Part 3. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. This morning I came across Paul. He looked much more handsome than before.
Really? I haven't seen him for ages. Has he grown taller?
What's the man's impression of Paul? Question 12. I hope you have a good flight.
The weather's supposed to be clear all down the coast, so it should be very smooth.
Where does the conversation most probably take place? Question 13. Well, put yourself in my shoes. What would you do then?
If Jennifer were my daughter, I'd just not worry about her. Her teachers have already given her special help after school. She is less likely to fail the course.
What's the man's suggestion to the woman? Question 14. John, why won't you go out for supper today and visit some friends?
And miss today's basketball game? Washington and Los Angeles are playing, and this will be the best game of the year.
What is the man most probably going to do? Question 15. I'd like to talk to someone about the t-shirt. It has shrunk to half its original size.
Sorry, madam. We've had a lot of complaints about the t-shirts. Don't worry. You'll be paid total compensation.
How will the woman's problem be settled?
Question 16. I'm sorry, I need to work late tonight, so you'd better cancel our reservation at the restaurant.
Oh, actually, I've never got round to making one in the first place.
What does the woman mean?
Question 17. I can't believe we have another lab report due so soon. Dr. Wang must think we don't have any other classes.
I know just what you mean. I'll be really pressed to get it done.
What can we infer from the conversation? Question 18. Did Michael find the tape he borrowed from Jim? Do you know?
He looked everywhere for it, but in the end, he had to go to the party without it.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Now, you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1. We seem to be having this conversation over and over again.
You're right.
Look, I know how you feel about my smoking. You don't have to tell me every day.
I'm sorry. I worry about you.
I know, but work at school has me so stressed out. Maybe I'll be able to quit after I graduate.
Let's be honest. There's always going to be a reason. After you graduate, it's going to be hard to find a job. Then there will be the stress from just starting a job. Then...
Okay, I get your point. It's just so hard. You don't really understand because you never smoke.
You need some help. Why don't you go to a doctor?
You mean a psychiatrist?
No, I mean a general practitioner. Maybe you can get some pills. Well, I don't know. Something to help you with the withdrawal, because that's what it is.
Really? I believe I can't quit on my own. But I'll think about it. I will.
All right. I won't mention it for a week. Then I want to know your decision, because I need to rethink our plans if you don't get some help.
You mean you'd break our engagement over this? I can't believe it.
I don't know. I love you, but I'm not sure I could accept everything that goes along with the smoking.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What are the two speakers talking about? Question 20. What is the man's reason for not giving up smoking? Question 21. What suggestion does the woman give the man to give up his smoking?
Question 22. What can we conclude from the end of the conversation?
Conversation 2.
Bob, will you tell me something about the new intelligent house your company has just built? I heard that it promises to be a model for houses of the future.
Certainly. The idea is not to have a house full of cleverly designed devices. This is a complete household system. It will make people's lives much easier.
Okay. So tell me how this house will make my life easier.
When you arrive at the front door, you won't need a key. The door will open automatically with a touch of your finger. The system can recognize your fingerprint. You'll be able to call your refrigerator when you're in the supermarket and find out how much milk you still have and figure out how much you need to buy. Isn't that wonderful?
Can I call the washing machine as well?
Sure, but you won't need to. The house comes with a robot. You can call the robot directly and ask it to do what you want to do.
What about household problems?
Well, if a pipe breaks open, the house will call the property management agency. And if there's a fire, the house will turn on the fire extinguishers automatically and call the fire department.
And what's the price of this intelligent house?
$1 million.
$1 million? It will be the 22nd century before I'll be able to afford one. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What does the man say about the new intelligent house? Question 24. What convenience can the intelligent house bring to one's life? Question 25. What does the woman think of the intelligent house?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. In the American family, the husband and wife usually share important decision-making. When the children are old enough, they take part as well. Foreigners are often surprised by the American way of family life. The old rule that children should be seen and not heard is rarely followed, and children are often allowed to do what they wish without strict parental control. The father seldom expects his children to obey him without question, and children are encouraged to be independent at an early age. Some people believe that American parents carry this freedom too far. Others think that a strong father image would not suit the American values of equality and independence. Because Americans emphasize the importance of independence, young people are expected to break away from their parental families by the time they have reached their late teens or early 20s. Indeed, not to do so is often regarded as a failure, a kind of weak dependence. This pattern of independence often results in serious problems for the aging parents of a small family. The average American is expected to live beyond the age of 70. The job retirement age is usually 65. The children have left home, married, and set up their own households. At least 20% of all people over 65 do not have enough retirement income. But the major problem of many elderly couples is not economic. They feel useless and lonely, with neither an occupation nor a close family group.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What does the speaker tell us about important decision-making in the U.S.? Question 27. Why are young people in the U.S. expected to break away from their parental families? Question 28. What does the speaker say about the U.S. pattern of independence? Question 29. What is the major problem of many elderly couples?
Passage 2.
Three men are found smashing boulders with iron hammers. When asked what they are doing, the first man says, breaking big rocks into little rocks. The second man says, feeding my family. The third man says, building a cathedral. Today's column focuses on the third man, the one who saw each hammer blow as contributing to the construction of a cathedral, a home for human dreams and sacred aspirations. To many of us who study and consult in occupational and organizational contexts, we would call what this third man does meaningful work. I have come to see meaningful work as consisting of three central components. First, the work we do must make sense. We must know what's being asked of us and be able to identify the personal or organizational resources we need to do our job. Second, the work we do must have a point. We must be able to see how the little tasks we engage in build, brick by brick, if you will, into an important part of the purpose of our company. Finally, the work that we do must benefit some greater good. We must be able to see how our toil helps others, whether that's saving the planet, saving a life, or making our coworkers' jobs easier so that they can go home and really be available for their families and friends. A growing body of evidence shows that meaningful workers are happy workers, more committed workers, and, in some tantalizing ways, better workers.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. What does the second man answer when asked what they are doing? Question 31. According to the speaker, what is the first central component of a meaningful work? Question 32. What does the growing body of evidence show? Passage 3. Watching movies is a good way to improve your listening. I would stress the usefulness of repetition. So watch a DVD of an English language film with Chinese subtitles. Then, a week or so later, watch the film again with the subtitles covered up. This time, you will know broadly what the characters are trying to say, which will help your brain link the English words with their meanings. Of course, you can pause and rewind the film if there are certain bits that really puzzle you. The next step would be to find a way to listen to the soundtrack of the film without watching it. You should know the scenes and the story well by now. So, by removing the pictures, your brain will really focus on the language spoken. Before you do any of this, think carefully about what film you want to use to practice your listening. If you want to learn American English, be sure to watch a film set in the USA. If you choose a really well-regarded film, one that has won lots of Academy Awards, for example, you will probably be able to buy the screenplay of the film, which will be very useful to you. Lastly, choose a film that you are not going to get tired of if you watch it three times. This is a very satisfying way to practice your listening. You will really feel that you are improving.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What message does the speaker try to convey in this passage? Question 34. What is the next step of improving one's listening by watching movies? Question 35. What is the speaker's last suggestion of improving one's listening.
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Why do we laugh? For years, scientists have asked themselves this question. No other animals laugh and smile, only human beings. So does laughter help us to survive in any way? The answer seems to be that smiling and laughter help us to relax, reducing tension, and preventing illnesses which are caused by stress. Laughter really is the best medicine. But if you're unhappy, it can't do you any good to smile, can it? Not true. Apparently, the positive effects of smiling are just the same, whether you feel like smiling or not. Scientists in California asked a group of actors to act five different feelings: happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, and fear, just using their faces. Changes in their heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature were written down. Most of the feelings they acted didn't cause changes, but when they smiled, their heart rate and their blood pressure went down. So even if we feel sad inside, smiling seems to make us feel better. A sense of humor also helps to keep things in perspective. Interfering friends or a flat tire won't seem quite so bad if you can see the funny side. So if you find yourself in a stressful situation, try to let yourself giggle. A psychologist writes, "If people try to show a positive reaction instead of a negative one, this will eventually become part of their personality. If you start to laugh, in time, you will actually become happier."
Now, the passage will be read again.
Why do we laugh? For years, scientists have asked themselves this question. No other animals laugh and smile, only human beings. So does laughter help us to survive in any way? The answer seems to be that smiling and laughter help us to relax, reducing tension, and preventing illnesses which are caused by stress. Laughter really is the best medicine. But if you're unhappy, it can't do you any good to smile, can it? Not true. Apparently, the positive effects of smiling are just the same, whether you feel like smiling or not. Scientists in California asked a group of actors to act five different feelings: happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, and fear, just using their faces. Changes in their heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature were written down. Most of the feelings they acted didn't cause changes, but when they smiled, their heart rate and their blood pressure went down. So even if we feel sad inside, smiling seems to make us feel better. A sense of humor also helps to keep things in perspective. Interfering friends or a flat tire won't seem quite so bad if you can see the funny side. So if you find yourself in a stressful situation, try to let yourself giggle. A psychologist writes, if people try to show a positive reaction instead of a negative one, this will eventually become part of their personality. If you start to laugh, in time, you will actually become happier.
Now, the passage will be read for the third time.
Why do we laugh? For years, scientists have asked themselves this question. No other animals laugh and smile, only human beings. So, does laughter help us to survive in any way? The answer seems to be that smiling and laughter help us to relax, reducing tension, and preventing illnesses which are caused by stress. Laughter really is the best medicine. But if you're unhappy, it can't do you any good to smile, can it? Not true. Apparently, the positive effects of smiling are just the same, whether you feel like smiling or not. Scientists in California asked a group of actors to act five different feelings: happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, and fear, just using their faces. Changes in their heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature were written down. Most of the feelings they acted didn't cause changes, but when they smiled, their heart rate and their blood pressure went down. So even if we feel sad inside, smiling seems to make us feel better. A sense of humor also helps to keep things in perspective. Interfering friends or a flat tire won't seem quite so bad if you can see the funny side. So if you find yourself in a stressful situation, try to let yourself giggle. A psychologist writes, if people try to show a positive reaction instead of a negative one, this will eventually become part of their personality. If you start to laugh, in time, you will actually become happier.
This is the end of listening comprehension.